This is the WHL This Week radio edition presented by the Western Hockey League. Here's your host, John Keane.
And welcome to the show, the Medicine Hat Tigers in Rimouski, Quebec for the Memorial Cup. This after claiming the Yanchenov Cup, thanks to three wins in Spokane to wrap up the series in five. We'll have full on-ice reaction to the Tigers winning their first WHL title since 2007. That's coming right up. Hey, the NHL draft takes center stage in June, and several WHL players will be top picks. That includes Prince George Cougars goaltender Joshua Ravensbergen. He is the number one ranked North American goaltender, according to NHL Central Scouting. He'll be our guest to wrap up the show. First up.
Taken in behind the net. Time ticks down. The Tigers, untamable in 2025. Medicine Hat has its sixth Western Hockey League championship.
Awesome seeing you, David. For these kids.
The Medicine Hat Tigers are the WHL's Yanchenov Cup champions for 2025. The Tigers, now at the Memorial Cup in Rimouski, Quebec, they're flying the WHL flag as they open up Friday night against the host team. Back to Spokane, where the Tigers wrapped up the series against the Chiefs in five games. A touching moment as WHL Commissioner Dan Neer handed over the cup to Tigers captain Oasis Weisblatt, who then quickly summoned goaltender Harrison Menegan to be the first to hoist it. Harrison lost his dad Derek suddenly back in March. Menegan was also named the WHL playoff MVP. He spoke to the WHL's Cammy Koepke after winning the title.
Pretty special. You live for moments like this. I'm super proud of my teammates and, you know, even my family too. So, super, super happy.
What's going through your mind when Oasis decides to not lift the trophy and calls you up to be the first?
I mean, honestly, I wasn't too surprised because that's the type of person he is. I mean, if you turn the camera around, you just see him doing spin arounds with the trophy. Unbelievable teammate. Honestly, he's part of my family now too. So, just honestly, the greatest guy ever.
We know it hasn't been the easiest ride for you, but what can you tell us about the support that you've seen from your teammates and the community?
Yeah, I mean, like, my teammates have been unbelievable. You know, right before playoffs started, I was at home, and you know, Willie sent a few of my teammates down to come, you know, support me and my family, and then even for my father's funeral too, they sent some guys down too. So, that's the type of stuff that, you know, makes life special and really wants, you know, run through a wall for your team. So, the support's been unbelievable.
I think you'd be pretty proud of you right now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Tigers captain Oasis Weisblatt post game.
I feel unbelievable. This is something that I've worked towards for 5 years, from the bottom, from up. So from 11 wins to this, it's an unbelievable feeling. These boys are hella warriors. Like, they can just battle and they're so relentless, and I just love it. Feels so good right now.
Take me inside the decision to not be the one to lift the Yanchenov Cup, but to give it to Harrison.
This moment is way bigger than anything else right now. It's history. I wanted Manny Harry to lift that first one for his dad, and it was so special. It had to be done. There's no way I could have done that. It's just an incredible moment. I had to do it, and he deserves it, and it's so special for him to hoist that one first. It's unbelievable.
Hey, what a season and a playoff for Gavin McKenna. The Tiger sniper and top prospect for the 2026 NHL draft spoke to Koepke, admitting he was not 100% during the championship best of seven.
Yeah, I've been battling an injury all series, and I knew that this is an opportunity for us to kind of close out the series, so I wanted to be here for the boys. And, you know, they stuck with me without me in the lineup those two games, and, you know, I think that just shows how tight of a group we are. We're willing to do it for each other, and it was an amazing feeling tonight.
What was it like for you to see them embrace that next man up mentality and make sure that they could take those wins on the road?
Yeah, it was huge. We knew that these guys were going to be tough coming into their barn, and, with Lindy out of the lineup and stuff, guys stepped up when we needed them, and I think that's how close our team's been all year. You know, we've had guys step up when we needed them, and that's why we were so successful.
We know how competitive you are and how hard you've worked for this. What did it mean to finally raise that cup?
Yeah, coming here when I was 14 and then, you know, seeing where I'm at now with this team, it's pretty special. I think as a group we've worked so hard every single year to get to this point. You know, I think we made some trades early in the year to get some winners, and it all paid off.
We've talked a lot about the adversity this team has faced this season. What has that done for the bond in the room?
Yeah, it's been amazing. I don't think any team wanted it more as bad as us. And, you know, with everything that went on with our team, injuries and whatnot, I think, you know, it was huge for our team to step up in moments. And we just did it for each other.
We saw you guys swarm Harrison after he was named MVP. He gets to be the first to lift the cup. What's it like to see a guy like that battle through what he has and be honored in this way?
I got no words. Like, he's worked so hard. I'm so proud of him. I can't imagine what he went through, but for him to stick here with us and do what he did this playoff run and all year long, he's just a special guy, and every single guy in this room is so proud of him. We all love him.
For the first time since 2007, the Tigers are WHL champions, and Willie Desjardins was there then, too.
It's so hard to believe. Winning is so, so tough, and to win three on the road, like, I never thought. When I started, I go, we just want to get back home. Like, we just want to get six in our building, give us a chance back home. And you get one, and then all of a sudden you got two, and then you think, well, geez, maybe we have a chance. But lots of things went our way, but our guys played really hard. Like, you know, we had a good group. And a lot of credit to Spokane. Matt Bardsley has done such a great job with that group. He's got a young team, like a really young team, to go this far. And big line, too. They didn't have maybe their best series, but, boy, they're a heck of a line. So we were lucky to get out, but I'm really excited for our group.
From game one of the regular season to now, you've basically been fighting injuries, adversity. What can you tell us about the next man up mentality and how it paid off in the end for this group?
Yeah, even today, it's like, you know, what's going on? Like, our penalty killers, we don't have all our penalty killers. There's guys missing on the power play. And yeah, it's been that way all year. And, you know, especially showed in game four when those guys came in and played so well. Like, you know, that was a game we probably didn't think we'd win. So yeah, it says a lot, but I come back to when we won, I can't remember, I think it was a Swift Current series, and all the guys went and celebrated with the guys that weren't playing, and to me, that's what keeps those guys in it, and that's so when we needed them, they were ready to go, so it was exciting.
What goes through your mind when you see the guys swarm Harrison Menegan when he's announced as MVP, and Oasis chooses not to lift the trophy, but to call Harrison up to lift it?
Pretty proud of the group. I said the biggest thing, like, on our wall, we're a family, and I believe we try to take care of each other. Harrison's been unbelievable, and his mom, like, it's an incredible thing they've had to go through, and I do think our boys really rallied behind him. Like, when I asked Gavin McKenna, I did a little thing in leadership, and it was after maybe the third round, I asked him what was his most exciting moment of the playoffs, and he scored a ton of goals, and, you know, he had 9 points in the first few games. He said Harrison getting the shutout in game one. And for all he's done, that was his biggest moment at that point. So that was pretty special.
Well, then what was yours?
Oh, mine? I had so many of them. All the guys are special. But I really am proud of Harrison and his family, too. Like, they're an amazing family. His mom's an amazing lady, and his sister, Georgina, is incredible. So a lot for them, and we played hard for them. So we, you know, it was a, you know, and that started in the last game of the regular season in Calgary, where we had to win to get home ice, and Harry was unbelievable in that game. So a lot goes back to that, and we're thankful to get the chance.
And for you, you're now the fourth all-time winningest playoff coach in the WHL. I know you're not so much for the personal accolades, but what does that mean to you after a long time in this league?
Well, it's special because of all the guys ahead of me, and the guy I passed to, Mike Johnson's a really good friend of mine, so I'd call him and say something, but he's ahead of me in regular season, so I can't do that. He'd come back at me. But that group in front of me, Don Hay, Ken Hodge, Ernie McLean, those guys are legends. Like, they are legends. So to kind of get at the bottom of that group, I'm pretty excited to get there.
I mean, in your position, does it feel pretty good when you see some of those trades pay off with players like a Harrison and a Tanner? There are more, but those are two of the big names that stick out.
Yeah, it was a really long year. Like, I don't know if I've had a harder year because we weren't playing great. And I honestly felt it was all my fault that we weren't. Like, I felt 100% responsible for us not playing well. And it was really, really hard. Like, I was taking it really hard. So it was pretty exciting for me when we got on the right streak and got going. But, yeah, it was a tough year, but such a good group of guys, that, you know, and to get to celebrate this again is unbelievable.
What was the turning point?
Turning point was probably Mullendyke. When he came in, because we lost Pickford and Wu. Like, if he wasn't there, we'd have lost. We'd have been lucky to be 500, but he was there, could log lots of ice time, and lots of other guys chipped in at that time. Pacheco went back and played defense, never played defense before. So it was pretty great with that.
Defenseman and Nashville Predators prospect Tanner Molendijk was the prized acquisition at the WHL trade deadline as the Tigers added to a potent roster.
Yeah, I don't even know. I mean, I still got chills. It's been 15 minutes. I still got chills. I mean, there's no better feeling than this.
Is this what you expected it to be?
A little bit more, but to be honest, I don't even have words. Like, this is unbelievable.
Can you take me through what you saw in the moment where Oasis decided not to lift the trophy and called up Harrison to be the first?
Yeah, I mean, Harry's been a rock back there. Obviously, what happened was really, can't say that word, but it was brutal. I mean, it was tough for the whole team. I mean, but for him to get to lift that trophy and obviously get playoff performer, whatever it was, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's a lifetime friend of mine, and I think I couldn't be more proud of him.
You're a new addition to the team, but what can you tell us about the bond that this team has off the ice?
It's unbelievable. I've never been a part of something like this. You can hear guys everywhere. They're all screaming and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, they were coming back there in the third, and I think we kind of stuck with it and stuck together. I mean, that's a big team win.
And how about Willie? He's now the fourth in all-time playoff wins by a WHL coach.
Yeah, that guy's unbelievable. I mean, I never had a coach like him. I mean, he's so pro. I mean, I don't know. Goes out to him.
Columbus Blue Jackets first-round pick Caden Lindstrom returned from a back injury. He would play his first game in over a calendar year, making it back in time for the final.
Honestly, all I wanted to do was just come here and win the championship with these guys. Obviously, we still got a lot of work to do, but this means the world to me. Just watching these guys on TV, just watching them grow over the whole season meant so much to me. I mean, we're such a tight-knit group, and these guys are just... they're family to me. They're all my brothers, and they're all amazing. So.
And just reflecting back on this whole experience for you, how are you going to look at coming back in and scoring those goals?
Those goals don't matter to me. All that matters is this right here, winning games and playing Tigers hockey. That's all that matters to me.
What was it like for you to see other guys step in when you weren't able to win this thing?
Yeah, I mean, that's all our team was all season. We faced a lot of adversity, and our younger guys stepped in, and our guys that didn't play much always stepped in, and that's what made us great.
Job's not done. Congratulations.
Job's not finished. Let's do it.
A great work by Cammy on the ice, capturing the emotion after the Game 5 victory. Now the Tigers set their sights on the Memorial Cup, the WHL trying to win its first CHL crown since the Edmonton Oil Kings pulled it off in 2014. The Tigers, meanwhile, will compete against the host Rimouski Oceanic, the Quebec champion Moncton Wildcats, and the OHL champion London Knights. The Tigers, well, they've been there before, having last competed in the tournament in 2007 in Vancouver. They've also won back-to-back Memorial Cup titles going back to 1987 and 1988.
22 teams, one goal. This is the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
He is the number one goaltender, according to NHL Central Scouting in North America, ahead of the draft this June. We're chatting with North Van's Joshua Ravensbergen of the Prince George Cougars. Josh, thanks for making time here on WHL This Week. How are you?
Good. Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about where the WHL is at right now. We got the Medicine Hat Tigers in the Memorial Cup. You know, when your season ended, are you a guy that still watches games or keeps up to date with what's going on out there?
I wasn't watching a lot, but it's cool to see Red Hat going that far and how well Manningham's been playing. So that's been cool to watch.
You know, I know that goalies always seem to know who's really good. Like, they know the good teams and maybe more importantly, the good players. But do you remember the Cougars game against Medicine Hat this season?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
You kind of had your way with them there, that one.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a huge win.
Joshua, let's talk about this. You've only been in the WHL a couple of years now. You kind of, I don't want to say you came out of nowhere, but you weren't drafted in the Bantam draft at the time, 214 picks, and you weren't one of them. Let's go back to the draft. Was that a disappointing day, or where was your head at after that?
Yeah, obviously it was really disappointing. Like, I thought I deserved to be picked, but looking back, I kind of see it as a positive because it kind of opened my eyes to how hard you have to work in the summer. And I don't think I would have given myself the same opportunity if I was drafted.
So did you rededicate yourself, or what was the process for you?
I think just really focusing on ice time in the summer, is going on ice as much as I could. I was following like a specific workout program for the first time that summer. So I think that just really helped me go from my U17 year, which was our draft year because COVID pushed it back, and then had a really good summer, played really well my U18 year, and then was able to take what I learned, had another really good summer, and was able to come up to PG and kind of run with the opportunity they gave me.
Yeah, I want to say the Cougars listed you like minutes after the draft. Like they were obviously interested in you. Do you remember going up for your first camp and, you know, the expectations that you had as a relative unknown still, but a guy that's going in there just trying to make an impression?
Yeah, I remember my first camp. Like, I think in the back of my head, I was like, oh, I want to come up and make this team. I was 16 years old, which wasn't really something attainable because they had Ty Young and Tyler Bryan at the time, but it's kind of still in the back of my head. But I remember I played really well at first camp, and you know, I think they were pretty happy with me, and you know, it was a good start.
You come in at 17, and you take over the number one position. You had a great team in front of you there, but when did it click for you in Prince George? It seemed like you got off to a good start, and eventually that crease was yours.
Yeah, I think just coming up there, and just I was so excited to be in the dub. I was just having a lot of fun, and the results started coming our way. It helped have a really good team in front of you, obviously, but especially down the stretch when I started playing a little bit more, it was cool to have the trust of the coaching staff a little more and being able to play a couple back-to-backs and play a couple more important games and then eventually go on and have a little run in the playoffs, which is pretty cool to do in my first year.
You had a really strong supporter in the late Sean Murray. I know he was important for you, your development. Take me back with your relationship with Sean Murray and how important he was to, you know, to push you where you are right now.
Yeah, he was super important. He's kind of a big reason why I'm here today. He's kind of the first person who kind of put that belief in me that, you know, I could make a career out of this game. I remember the first thing he told me was like, how much do you enjoy hockey? Because I think you could play in the dub one day. And then that kind of was the first time I believed that, you know what, maybe I can do this. And then he used to work in PG too, so he had some connections there, and that's why I was able to get an opportunity with PG.
What's it like playing in Prince George? A couple of years there now, you've been part of a couple of playoff runs. We know the crowd up there this year and the last year for the playoffs have been, you know, a great atmosphere up there. What's it like to be in the crease in those games?
Yeah, it's unreal. That's the best part about playing there. The crowd support, especially in playoffs, something so cool to be a part of. And sold out CN Center and everybody's super loud too. So that's definitely the coolest part about playing PG. The fans are loud. They're awesome. Yeah, we love them.
NHL draft. How much have you thought about it? Is it something daily that's on your mind? I mentioned off the top, you're the number one rated goaltender amongst North American goalies. So you're on the radar. You've played in the top prospects game. It all culminates here, coming up here next month. So where are you at with the draft and how much is it on your mind?
Yeah, it's exciting. Like doing a lot of interviews right now, which is cool to be in this position. And then draft in, I guess, just over a month now. So I'll be excited to go down and, you know, see what happens and hopefully get drafted for the first time.
You're doing an interview now. What are the interviews like with the NHL teams? And do you get the odd curveball question here that really makes you think about?
I've had a couple of curveball questions. They're like, I had to think about it for a little bit, but most of the time it's pretty standard.
I've heard some of the questions, some of the oddball questions over the years from prospects here. Is there one that sticks out to you that you were asked by a team that maybe you can still remember here today?
There's nothing like too crazy. I heard they save the wilder ones for when you're at the combine, which is in a couple of weeks. So I have to get back to you on that.
All right. Well, you'll have to be ready for a curveball for sure there at the combine. You know, goaltenders. What goalies do you look for inspiration? Maybe it was the Western League, maybe it's the NHL. Do you have goalies that, you know, you emulate or try to be like?
Yeah, when I was younger, like U18, U17, I was trying to find videos of dub guys skating. I really like watching them, seeing how they move. I tried to kind of copy that the best way ability, and now I like watching Jake Andre. He's my favorite to watch right now. He's really big like me. Skates unbelievable. Sees the play super well. He's he's kind of my favorite to watch right now.
Yeah, Jake Oettinger, Dallas Stars in that battle with Edmonton right now in the Western Conference Final. You're a right-handed catching goaltender, so maybe I'm thinking, is there a righty that you've thought about that you want to emulate? In fact, Prince George had a righty up there in Taylor Gauthier, too, just a couple of years ago. So, I don't know, does that give you an advantage? What's your take on that?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, if it gives me an advantage. I heard some shoot, like when I come back in the summer and skate with people, you know, the guys are always saying, oh, it's so weird to shoot on righty again, which is funny. But I think, I don't really know if it gives you an advantage. I'm sure it can in some cases, but yeah, it's definitely not a common occurrence.
Your plan is to go back to Prince George. It'll be your 19-year-old season here in the fall, and that's usually a year where a goalie pushes to be on Canada's World Junior team. How much is that on your radar as you start a new season in the fall?
Yeah, it's in the back of my mind. That's something that I really want to do and want to give myself the best chance to get an opportunity to play for that team. And so that will be kind of in the back of my mind during the summer. And when I get back up to PG and start the season, that's kind of the goal to push for. And so I always wanted to play on that team. And everybody has in Canada since you're little kids. So hopefully I can give myself an opportunity to kind of show what I can do and maybe run along with it.
All right, well, Joshua, you have a big opportunity in front of you ahead with the NHL draft and first the combine. So it's setting up to be a very exciting summer for you and the fall into your 19-year-old season. Really appreciate your time here on WHL this week. Enjoy the rest of your summer and have a great time with the draft as well, okay?
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it.
Hey, that's the show and the season for WHL this week. Big thanks to Cammy Koepke and everyone at the WHL office for their help. And a shout out to all the radio broadcasters all season long across the league for their contributions. I'm John Keane. Have a great summer.